Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM, our very last one for 2024. Judy Sharp, thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. When Mark was announcing us this morning and he said, oh, the last gardening, I thought, oh, I hope he qualifies that. And he did, and he did.
For the year. I'm assuming you're back for 25.
Well, you know, I might get asked, do you think? I don't know.
I'd imagine you would. Okay. Mad if they didn't. Judy Sharp, what do you got for us for the last month of the year?
Oh, look, you'll remember a chap called Kevin rang last time.
Yep.
About the Monsterio. Well, you know, I've got a little bit of information about that. Mm-hmm. But also I thought we should deal with, are you going away on holidays?
No, I'm not. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, I'm not either, but there are many, many people that will be, Greg. Yep. So I thought we should cover looking after their garden and their indoor plants at Christmas.
Rightio.
Yeah.
I think we touched a little bit of that last week, didn't we?
Well, we did touch a little bit. A young lady rang up about what was she going to do with the house plants.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And you said stick them in the bathtub.
Stick them in the bathtub.
Cheryl, first up from Caves Beach, and she's got a question about the Newcastle rose.
Oh, hello, Cheryl. That's a nice question. I love the Newcastle rose.
Hello, Judy. It's not a question. I'm just telling you where you can obtain one. I was in the Hunter Valley Gardens last week. We had a couple of days up there. And as you would know, beautiful roses. Nearly at the end, of course. And here's the city of Newcastle. So I asked one of the gardeners there. They gave me the wholesaler. Trelaw, T-R-E-L-O-A-R.
Oh, yep. Trelaw's.
Victoria. Yep.
Trelaw's, yes.
I run them, but they only supply it to wholesale distributors. And the only ones in New South Wales is Swains.
Swains, yes. And they don't sell it as City of Newcastle.
It's also called the Veterans Honour.
Yeah, it should never have been, to be quite honest, Cheryl, because it was named City of Newcastle Rose first, and the New South Wales and the Australian Rose Society objected very strongly to Swains, and Newcastle City Council did try to take them on legally, but Swains had sold the business. Well, that's a little story, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I just heard earlier in the year, I always listen to your program, whether that was any help to you or anybody else, because I have the Veterans Honour, which I bought a long time ago, and it is a beautiful rose.
It is,
but I will change the name.
They're very naughty. But, Cheryl, I can also tell you and the other listeners, I buy mine from South Australia.
Right.
And they're a very good company to deal with as well.
Because they do small amounts, though.
Oh, yes, they do. They will send you one.
Okay. Could I possibly have that contact?
Yes,
you have
certainly.
That to hand or?
No, I don't have it to hand because I need to give you a little bit more info. But, Cheryl, if you just, I've got your number, so I'll give you a ring when I get home because I've got all their information there.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Will that be okay?
I ask you one question relating to orchids?
Yes, certainly.
I have over 80-odd orchids. I had a seed pod, which I'd never seen before. I let it develop brown and open it, and the tiniest, tiniest, small, like a white talcum powder seed. I've tried the internet. I've tried everywhere else. How do I propagate from a seed from an orchid?
Now, can you tell me, Cheryl, was it a Phalaenopsis or it was a Cymbidium?
It was Jacob's ladder.
Jacob's ladder.
Or crucified cross, they call.
Oh, right, okay. Look,
different names for different folks.
Yeah, that's okay. Cheryl, look, it won't be that difficult. What you'll need to do is see if you can buy some striking powder.
Yes, I've got that.
Oh, good girl, you're all organised. Yeah, well, I'd use the striking powder.
Okay, but they're very minute. Tiny.
Oh, okay.
Like you can't even pick them up with a tweezer because I thought, well, I'll try putting some just in sphag moss so they grow from there because there must be hundreds. It was a big bulb. I've never seen an orchid.
Right, okay. Well, can you use your tweezers just to dip it in the striking powder?
Right, and then what should I grow it in though?
Right.
On the internet it's saying agar powder and I haven't been able to track that down anywhere.
Oh, well, you know what? I'd use the striking powder, Cheryl.
Yeah, instead.
Instead.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you very much for your help.
And you have a lovely Christmas and thank you for the calls.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks, Cheryl. We've got Leslie now from Salamander Bay, and she's got a question about potted palms.
Hello, Leslie.
Hello, Judy. Merry Christmas to you and Greg. Love the program. I'll miss you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Judy, I've got two quite big palms. They're outside but in a covered area, and also a really beautiful white hibiscus. And something is eating massive holes and destroying both.
Oh,
and
right.
The only thing that I can hear of a nighttime is a very loud cricket. So I'm wondering if crickets actually eat them.
Oh, look, I know what's eating the hibiscus. It's going to be the hibiscus snail. And he's a very small little creature. He's very hard to find.
Oh, really?
Mm. So you need to, you know, use some kind of snail repellent, particularly around your hibiscus, but maybe the little snail likes the potted palms as well.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Let's go through the whole leaf.
Oh, well, that is definitely the hibiscus snail. But honestly, Leslie, I'd go out with a torch at night.
Yeah?
You'll be surprised what you discover at night in the garden.
Okay. All right.
You know, it could even be possums eating the palms.
Oh, true.
Yeah, if they're hungry.
They eat palms.
Well, if they're hungry. You know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You know, I mean, not everyone feeds the possums, so then they get a bit desperate, don't they?
So, well, I know that we do have a little possum that visits here quite noisily and quite regularly, but I would never have thought ever that they would eat palm trees.
Now, Leslie, I'm not trying to frighten you, but I'm going to tell you what it will definitely be.
What?
Now, is it a tall palm and it's got a big head on the top?
I can't think what sort of... It's about 6 or 7 foot in the old language,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a very broad leaf.
Right.
And they come out really healthy. And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
Right, okay. Look, I'm pretty sure you're going to find, if you went out with a torch at night, you're going to have maybe rats nesting in the top of the palm.
Oh.
I know. It happened to a friend of mine. And, you know, it was a dreadful experience for them and was very difficult to get rid of them. But, you know, you might have to put some rat bait up in there if you see any rats, but definitely go out tonight with the old torch. Will you do that for me?
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you, Leslie. And look, thank you for the calls all the time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I do miss you, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Marie from Swansea, and she's got a question about ivy geraniums. Afternoon, Marie.
Oh, hello, Greg. Hello, Judy.
Hello, Marie.
I've got five ivy geraniums that are in oblong-shaped hanging pots.
Right.
And they're hanging over the edge of the veranda rail. They face north, but they've always struggled. They've never been very healthy. They've been there about 2 or 3 years. The stems tend to be woody. The leaves are not, like, they're small and they're not very healthy looking.
Right.
They do flower, but not a lot.
Okay.
They just seem to generally be in poor condition. And I'm just wondering if you might have had a suggestion as to something that might help them along.
Okay, certainly, Marie. So, Swansea, you would be getting some amount of salt on there, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Look, my recommendation would be if you could hose them off every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens, of course, you would probably realise this, but the salt comes in and it doesn't actually burn. It's the wind that comes along and burns the salt in.
Ah, right. So, I rang you once before because I bought a yellow imp genista,
Right.
And it just died in about a week. And you said that was the salt.
Yeah, yeah, so, definitely would with the genista. But the ivy geraniums might take it. So the next step is to cut them back. You know where you're saying they're woody. Cut them back, and do you use a fertiliser regularly?
What would you recommend? Because, like, I generally understand that you don't, that geraniums don't like a lot of fertiliser.
Oh, look, if you use Flourish for flowering, you won't have a problem, Marie. I used to use it at the nursery.
I did think of fertilising them, but I wasn't sure, you know, what to use. Yeah. I didn't want to overfeed them.
So if you find, you'll find Flourish for flowering very easily. So we're going to start eliminating the salt, washing it off every 3 days, cut them back and go and look for your Flourish, and it's giving you something to do over Christmas.
Actually, I think I have some here. So
excellent.
That's easy.
Thanks, Marie. Good luck with that.
Okay.
Ring us back in the new year and let us know how you go. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Judy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We've got Tony now from Lochinvar, and her hydrangeas don't seem to be flowering at the moment.
Oh, Tony, it's a bit late now, isn't it? Although, you know, you might still have them come out.
No, they're really, Judy, they did come out, but just as little bud things, and they look a bit seedy now. And we've got them in the front garden, and they just won't, they don't die, but they don't grow either.
Right, okay. Now, Lochinvar does get very hot. I have a niece that lives up there, and I know she complains to me all the time about her garden, which she loves. But honestly, Tony, do you water there every day?
No, every second day.
Okay. Next question, dear, is are the hydrangeas out in the sun?
Well, we've got two on the front steps, and no, they're not. But then we've got some growing in the garden just in front of them. Now, they grow vigorously. However, either of them haven't got flowers on them at all.
Right.
No buds.
Now, that can come from when you prune them. You know how to prune hydrangeas back, don't you? You have to go to a double eye.
A double eye.
On your stem, you will have a little eye shoot on one side and on the other.
Yes.
So if you didn't prune them that way, that it could be why you're not getting flowers.
Oh, well, that seems to make sense then.
Okay,
yes.
So...
Because my husband trimmed them all back. And now we're not sure why. We were actually going to just get rid of them.
No, don't. No, they're very hardy plants, hydrangeas, and they have been beautiful this year. But the other thing, Tony, can you tell me what colour they meant to be?
Well, the ones in the front step down in the earth, one's a bluey colour and the other one's a pinky colour. And then the ones that we've got in the two pots, they're more pinky than blue.
Okay, now the ones down in the garden, give them a little bit of cow manure. That'll teach your husband not to prune them incorrectly, won't it? If you give him the job of getting the cow manure. But also, you know those two in the pots?
Yes.
I'm going to suspect that you don't water them every day. Am I right?
Well, what we do is we water them. And then there's water underneath, like in the saucer.
Yeah.
So they're getting plenty of water.
All right, okay. But then it's pretty hot up there at Lochinvar.
Yes.
It is. Okay. Look, I'll leave you with all that, Tony, and ring us back in the new year and let us know if they improve. But I'm sure that's the answer. But your pruning won't be able to be fixed up till the next season.
Right. Can I just please ask one more question?
Yeah, if you'll quickly... Sorry, we just got a bank up today.
We've got double white hydrangea, double white impatiens out the front in the arbor sort of thing, and they're flourishing pretty well at the moment, but we've only put one mother plant in. Should we put more around it? Because that seems to be the only thing that we can get to grow in that plinth.
Oh, yes, no, definitely put some more around it. But you might even be able to take cuttings from that impatiens.
Yes, we've done that.
Yeah.
So we didn't know whether one plant was enough because we saw it in Noosa and I didn't know whether they put more than one plant in or whether it was more just the mother plant.
No, look, one plant should grow quite large.
Oh, good. That's answered my question. Thanks okay. so much, Judy. Have a lovely Christmas,
Thank
darling.
You very much, Tony.
Okay, bye.
We've got Debbie now from Charlestown, and she might have a vine being eaten by a possum.
Oh, hi, Debbie. Not good.
Hey, good morning. I think it's a purple lilac vine, is it? It's a native I got, and it just grew beautifully, but my little ringtails absolutely adore it, and they've just annihilated it.
Oh.
What can I do, or am I just going to happily keep feeding possums?
Well, you know, I do have a customer that regularly puts out, you know, apple peeling, you know, when she peels the vegetables, she puts it out in a little bowl and it does, they do get attracted to that. Now, I know there'll be people out there cringing saying, Judy, you're going to encourage those, the possums. But no, it won't, you know, they will try and eat the vegetables and hopefully it will stop them going to the vine.
To hit the lemon scented tree we just planted 6 months ago too. So they live in our roof and we're just leaving them there because they're gorgeous.
Oh, we'll just...
And we've got a little baby we watch every night run along the fence ready to go and eat my vine.
Okay, so... well, the fruit, that's a better way to go. Feed the baby with fruit.
Give them something better. Thank you very much.
You're okay with that, Debbie. Okay. Thank you very much and have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And Judy, had a little bit of homework to do from last week with Kevin with his, was it Monstereo?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he, remember he had, he loved Monstereo and we did talk about it can upset your tummy.
Yep.
And, but anyway, I thought
I just remembered that.
But anyway, I did a little bit of research and I don't want to frighten Kevin, but Monstereos are not only toxic to animals, but they're also toxic to humans.
Okay.
But you're not going to eat the leaves, Kevin, if you're listening.
Okay.
Definitely don't eat the leaves. But he said he had this funny flower thing coming up. Well, they do get a flower. And if it's white, Kevin, you've got no problems because that's just setting the course ready to fruit.
Okay.
So that's basically what it was. But they do like acidic soil. And they take 3 years to fruit if anyone else is planting a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, so simple solutions.
It always is. Sometimes it always just seems to be the simple solution with gardening.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, but, you know, can I say this? I think it's common sense.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, we just did say it, but yeah.
Well, sorry.
I think, yeah, right now half the time it's just... Yeah, essentially common sense or a simple solution.
Yeah, it is, definitely, yeah.
Now, Judy, we're coming up to the holiday periods and you've got a couple of tips for people who might be going away over the break.
Yeah, hopefully it helps them. You know, we did have a young lady rang in last week about her indoor plants and I made one quick suggestion for her that she put them in the bath with a little bit of water that they could soak up. And I think she was going for 3 weeks, so definitely do that with your indoor plants. But also just get a water spray, and spray all the leaves and that before you actually leave the house. And that will, you know, give them a bit of a kick start. Now, okay, what about the garden?
I was just about to ask you that. What do we do for the old backyard?
Well, the old backyard. The old backyard requires neighbours or friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you need to have some good neighbours by your side to...
Yeah, yep. Or friends or relatives, anyone you can hit over the head and say, look, I don't want anything to die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a keen gardener, you will have timers and hoses on most of your taps.
Yep.
You might even have an automatic system. So you just want someone to come in and keep an eye on it to make sure that system hasn't broken down. And you come home and find after 4 weeks or 3 weeks, everything's dead.
Everything's died.
How tragic, yeah.
And you found out your timers never work.
And your timers never work because little lizards get in those, you know, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the little devils. But we wouldn't kill them, of course. And so the trick is then you've got to con, well, I won't say con, but ask someone nicely, would they go in and just even turn the timers on? You don't have to have an automatic system. You can just buy a simple timer that you turn on and it will turn itself off.
Okay.
Yeah, so then you're not asking them to stand there with a hose all day.
And walking, doing the whole yard and...
Yeah. And so that's why you do them the favour and make sure you've got a hose and a timer on every tap.
Rightio. So that all you have to do is like make sure that timer's on, that sets it all off.
Yeah, if they've got a system, if they've got a watering system. But if they're doing it by hose, well, then you stand there with a beer or something and with a hose and make sure you give them a good drink, even if you only go once in 3 days. But, you know, when you're at home, you know, oh, is the weather hot today? And, of course, it is going to be, isn't it? Christmas Day always is. You know, I remember way back then that we just stayed at the nursery all day when we had a sizeable one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't leave. No. But champagne's good on a day like that, isn't it?
Champagne in the sun.
So you're not going away, so your chilies will be right.
They should be fine.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, I've got to water them still, though. That's still out. Can't forget not to do that.
No, don't forget to do that. So, yeah, that's basically it. But if you've got potted plants outside, now we haven't covered that. It is wise to leave them in the shade. I know it's a chore, particularly if you've got big, heavy pots, but, you know, get a couple of hefty men to move them over into under big trees and then water well. But could I add, if you're very clever, you would buy some peat moss to put around the top of those pots.
That'll help keep the moisture in?
Help keep the moisture in. Greg, you could do this program, darling.
Just about. I'm still a bit off, but yeah.
Yeah, so look, it's simple stuff, isn't it, when you think about it. And that young lady that rang last week, she was so pleased.
Mm.
Oh, she said,
especially the bathtub thing.
I didn't think of putting them in the bath, yeah. Well, you're not going to be using the bath, are you?
No, you just got to give it a quick rinse out when you get back. Done.
Hopefully, yeah.
Just before we wrap up the year, you've got a few more things you want to look at before we finish off.
We do, Greg. You know, some days we get so busy we can't even deal with some, you know, ordinary things you need to do in the garden.
Yep.
Now, the hippiastrums have stopped flowering and they, what happens, their long stem will get a seed pod on the top.
Alrighty, okay.
So you can actually grow them from that seed pod and it won't hurt now to cut those stems off and, you know, let the plants rest after the flowering period.
Oh, righty, okay.
Yeah, and they're quite a large seed pod, so the gardeners out there, or the listeners, they won't miss them. They're very evident in the garden, yeah.
So is there too much you can trim off them, or...?
Sorry?
Is there too much you can trim off them, or just...?
Oh, no, because the seed pod is like this little black cluster on the top of a long stem.
Right.
So easy peasy. Yep. You just cut that off and then you put them in the garden and trust me, they'll grow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
Not difficult.
Yep.
And also Cymbidium orchids, they're the ones with the long stem, not the Phalaenopsis. And they've got long strappy leaves and they start to flower in the beginning of May. So it's time now to hit them with some fertiliser for orchids.
Right.
To give them a boost now, it is definitely time to start doing so. And also, I'd like to mention passion fruit and mangoes. We haven't been getting a lot of questions about them this season.
No, passion fruit's usually a big one.
We usually
get a lot of questions about that.
Shh, don't say anything.
Yeah,
and, it is time now to give passion fruit and mangoes some sulfate of potash.
Right, okay, the boost their flowering, obviously.
Yeah, boost their flowering and boost their fruiting, So, you know, that's just a few hints now to help people along.
Are mangoes easy?
Oh, mangoes are easy to grow. Yep. The only thing is they get that black fungal disease. You've got to watch that here on the coast and because of our humidity. But, you know, that's easy treated. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, because I've always thought that's one of those things where you think, oh, surely it's better just to grow your own mango tree.
Well, it is. Yeah. Yep. No, they grow very easy, but you've got to buy a graft.
Oh,
don't try and grow one from
seed.
Well, not from seed, but even when you go to the nursery, make sure you ask for a grafted one, and then you'll fruit pretty quickly, because mangoes do take quite a few years to fruit if you use the seedling grain one.
Oh, right, yeah. Same as the avocado.
Yeah,
I guess.
But, oh, God, I gave up on the avocado once. Told you that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, chopped it down in the nursery at Merriweather. It had been there 15 years.
Not a single fruit.
Not a single fruit, no.
I think I told Scott ages ago, I said, I want to do that, and he went, don't bother.
Oh, he's so good on that kind of advice, is he?
Yeah, he was straight away. That was in a conversation as well. Yeah. Don't bother. Went, oh, righto.
No, he's cut and dried. He is deadly, isn't he? Mm. Very deadly, yeah.
But yeah, they take a bit long to...
Oh, they take a long time to fruit. But we did have someone ring up during this last couple of months that their avocado, and I think it was somewhere in Singleton, planted on the side of a hill, and it fruited quite quickly. I think it was only 5 years old. Remember that? Yeah.
It must just be the surrounds or something, I guess, or...?
Well, if you let your mind travel up to where they're grown, mostly on the, say, around Alstonville and those places... Mm. They are planted on hills.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so I hope that gentleman would have rung back, but he didn't, so...
Oh, that's just...
You know, but you might be listening today.
We'll have to wait till 2025, Judy Sharp. Oh, that's, I have to write it down and put a note down. Well, Judy Sharp, we've only got a couple of seconds left and we're all done for 2025, or 2024.
But while I've got a quick minute, could I thank you very much, Greg? You see me through a long hour sometimes when I lose my voice, and you have been a wonderful friend and very helpful to me.
Judy Sharp, thank you very much. You don't want to make me cry at the end of the episode. Well, Judy, it's always been a pleasure every Monday. It's my favourite part of the day, Gardening Talkback. So hopefully we'll have more fun again next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.